Well, I tell you what, I came to the state. I still remember the first night I got here. If you cannot hear my voice, raise your hand. I think it's pretty good mic. First night I get off the plane and then get into a student apartment in Essex Square. I still remember. Climb on the second floor, and then, oh man, after so many hours, 10,000 miles from Malaysia, I go take a shower. I took a shower. Then I jump out from the shower. I say, ayaya. It's hot. In Malaysia, it's like Hawaii. There's always summer year round. So I turn on the water. It's all hot water. I mean, it's burning hot. I didn't know. There's a cold and hot water. That's the difference. I still remember I go to my first semester at the Walker Tower. Okay? And one day, you know, I sign up. I just want to know Americans. Our dream to meet an American, you know. Oh, this dream, all these wild dreams. Oh, I want to meet an American. Okay, I sign up to meet an American. So that day came, and then this so-called host family came. And then I still remember that night I waited and waited at the ground floor, and then this couple came. Hey, giant. I saw giant. Oh. And then this wonderful woman came and said, Tony. Oh, she came like this. And she wants to hug me. Oh, I stood. I froze. I looked at her. I said, why do you know what she's going to do? And then she was close, about 5 feet from me. I ran. Walker Tower, there is a place to, I go to the candy store. I do not know what to do. Then after a while, I came out and stretch out my hand like this. I shake her hand. That's my first American experience. So as you can tell, it's a wonderful encounter. I was born in Malaysia. My dad ran away from China, communist China, when they took over, and he just got in time on a big boat and got to Malaysia. I met a wonderful woman, and they have 11 children, and I'm the sixth of the 11. I was born in this very traditional Chinese family that goes, we worship idols, we worship all kinds of things, even the rock, the tree. Yes, I have worshipped trees. And of course, in my country, very few Christians. And I grew up hating Christians. And especially they dragged me to one meeting like this. You know, occasionally I come along, I drag along. My purpose is to see beautiful girls. That was my purpose. You see, I'm a sinner. Oh, still a sinner, only redeemed by His blood. So I went and occasionally heard what they do. No interest. I hate Christian as my hobby. And then, during my senior year in high school, and one day, I still remember waiting for the bus to come. I have $5 with me. I'm 80 miles away from home. See, I have five younger brothers. So I went to the stream and catch some guppies. They're literally guppies, fish, little fish. Put it in a bottle. I said, I'm ready to go. I have three friends sitting there. I said, hey guys, let's go. I said, this is my $5. Go get me a ticket, $4.50. I took it out, but my only $5 is with me. I lost it. I don't know how I did it, but I lost it. I panicked. For half an hour, I go around the high school compound, cannot find it. I panicked. I don't know what to do. I can't go home, and I'm stranded. Panic. And then all my friends gave up. Oh, it was so hot, I still remember that day. And then I told them, guys, give me 5 minutes. So I ran away to a corner of two tall buildings in an alley. Nobody's watching me. I know absolutely everybody have gone home. I watch, nobody's watching me. So because I considered I'm going to do one of the most ridiculous, embarrassing things in my life, I bowed down my head for the first time. I say a very quick prayer. I say, God, I don't know who you are. If you let me find my $5, I believe you exist, like the Christians say. I believe in Jesus' name. Amen. Then I open my eyes. In between my feet, there was my $5. I said, how can it be? I look around. I was shocked. So how can it be? So who is this God? I have no clue who he is. I hate Christian. I curse him. You know, just it's my daily lifestyle to curse Christians. Who is this God? I wouldn't have known him. It doesn't matter what miracles happen in my life. Until and unless one person like you, one of those colored with a different color hair, you came forward and tell me about Jesus. Only then I know of God's love. See, God works in amazing ways in our lives. And by the grace of God, I'm blessed. And God has blessed me. My wife is back there. I have 4 children. Yes, I came to OU and I work at the for 10 years. I work at the medical school as the computer software engineer. Some of those that play with computer and get paid. Okay, I consider that. And for 10 years, and then I take an early retirement and I become a responder to God's calling to be a pastor. And I thank God. It is a joy to serve the Lord. I'm a very happy person because I serve the living God. It's a joy. It is the greatest blessings. Of all the degrees that I have, it counts nothing as to know God as the living God and Jesus Christ as our own personal, real and personal Savior. The surest blessings is to reach out and help one out there. Those who are in the darkness, we reach out and touch them with the love of God and see how God changed their lives. Today's topic is world at your door or at your doorsteps. You open the door, you see the world. Yes, God has sent the world into maybe in your bedrooms, some international students. In the hallway, you see international students. Oh, you have, I don't know how many, 50s maybe? International students from different countries right at our doorstep. Yes, you said it right. You do not need to fly so far away. You know, go raise funds, huh? And then get the money and fly it over there to share the gospel. No, God have paid the tickets, get a visa. They are here at our doorsteps. It's just amazing what God is at work among us. You see, nobody is born a Christian. Every Christian must be born again. Look at us. Look around you. Every one of us become a child of God because someone obeyed and reached out and touched our lives with the gospel, with the love of God. So in the same way, just as Jesus said, freely you received, freely shall you give. So here today, let's look at God's word together and see how to encourage and motivate us to reach out and touch someone, that this international harvesting at your doorstep can be very exciting. The first verse is taken from Matthew 9:38. It's a very familiar verse. Let me read it to you. Our Lord Jesus says, therefore, ask the Lord of harvest to send out the workers into his harvest field. First is to pray to the Lord of harvest. You see, in reaching someone with the gospel of God's love, first is to pray to the Lord of the harvest. The focus of this spiritual harvesting or reaching the internationals or non-internationals, reaching anyone, first is to pray to the Lord of harvest. The focus is not the harvest itself. The prayers reminds us that it is the Lord's battle. Zechariah 4:6 says, for we all know this, it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God, says the Lord Almighty. We fight this spiritual battle first on our knees. It is not our words that try to convince others. It is the Spirit of God that convicts. Prayer is important. Prayer is important work. We see God have sent people around us, especially the internationals. Yes, say a prayer. You like prayer walk. Do pray to those whom you come across as friends, maybe casual friends, maybe one day be a close friends. Water this gospel seeds with a lot of prayer. In God's timing, the harvest will come. Doing spiritual harvesting without prayer is like driving a car without gas, or sending out a mail without post stamp. It can be very frustrating. So prayer inoculates us against frustrations and disappointment. 2 weeks ago, I felt to draw closer to God that day because of the environment, and I drove to OU Parkview Apartments Complex. It was quiet that morning. Oh, it was a wonderful morning. And the sunshine, the birds were singing. I had my devotion there. It was heavy. Good time. And then the Lord led me to John chapter 14, verse 14. It's an amazing verse here. Jesus said, "You may ask anything in my name, and I will do it." I said, wow, this was the verse for the morning. I said, goodness. I said, Jesus signed a check with his name on it. He just said, fill in the blank. Wow, I said, all right, I'm going to get him this time. All right, this is what I say. I said, Lord, I said, help me and guide me to know you, to encounter you, to walk in your will today. Amen. I close my eyes. After I say amen, I open. I saw an international student walk by. I said, what could it be? He walked by. It's a guy, okay? He's an old friend. This guy is just those that... you know, you say it's hopeless. We grade him as it's impossible that one day he'll become a Christian because he's so obnoxious, so arrogant, he's so proud of himself. Yeah, but he's just all that kind. But we've been praying for him for about 6 months. So I saw him walk by. He used to be so confident of himself. He's a OU graduate student here. And then today, he looked a little concerned. There's a tuck in my heart. He doesn't know I was there. It was pretty secluded, that area. I quickly opened my door. I shocked him. I said, hi. I said, hey, why don't you just come in? Let's have a talk. Have a good time. Let's chat. So I said, huh? It was okay. He said, came in, and then we have some conversation. Then suddenly he said something. You know, Tony, how can, in essence, you say, how can I be a Christian? I look at him, huh? What happened to you? I didn't say that. Never say that, okay? I look at him, so surprised. I pretend, I said, okay, I said, continue. He just said, you know, I've been watching Christians. Guys, you are, like Corinthians says, we are a walking ladder. People reach you. People see us. People observe what you're talking. People see, hey, those Christians, really, I've never encountered such love, so-called unconditional love. I don't speak good English. They didn't look down upon me. I'm not that rich. And people just reach out to me and help me. He says, when I was discouraged, they talked to me. He says, what about the? He says, why do they always have this joy and peace in their hearts? And then he told me, he says, you know what? I wanted that joy and peace. How can I get it? Of course you can. I point him to Jesus, and he became a child of God 2 weeks ago. Glory to God. Prayer is important work. Prayer helps us to walk close to God, and God brings the people into our lives that His love will touch and transform. Our Lord Jesus said, "Look around you. Look, the field is ripe for harvest." John 4:35. The spiritual harvest is ready. People need the Lord. When our Lord Jesus says it is ready, it is ready. There's a great spiritual need now in the heart of the people around us. Most international have never met a Christian in their entire life. Or especially American, this is maybe the first time they encountered an American and also a Christian. God has put you in such a wonderful position. Maybe your smile. Yes, just your smile. I still remember this American, they just smile. They just smile. I said, "Well, what so beautiful smile?" Because if you have a chance to go to China or Malaysia, people don't smile that much or hardly smile. So yes, your life, it shines as a light to those in the darkness. You give them hope. So don't give up. Pray. God answers prayer. Sometimes we may feel rejections or being pushy or just do not know how to start a conversation. You can always pray. Pray first. Pray confidently, consistently. For it is God's desire that all men come to the saving grace. Some may take a day. Some may take a few years. But in God's timing, the harvest will come. The second thing we need to know, as we look, God has sent the world around us. So how should we respond? The second thing is, taken it from Romans chapter 1 verse 16. It's to go harvest. It's simple. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation for everyone who believes." We can certainly expect and experience the power of God once we reach out with the love of God and the gospel of Christ. Yes, that is it. The Bible said it very clearly. The gospel of God is indeed the power of God. It is the power of the Almighty. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed." People see the cross as the crucifix. For the worst sinners, the worst sentence, for the worst kind of criminals. But God has used the cross to reveal His power. Yes, Jesus died on the cross as the cursed. He was buried, yes, but on the third day He rise from the dead. Jesus conquered death on the cross. He is Lord, the risen Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the gospel. That is the power of the gospel. Share it confidently. Oh, just amazingly. One day I still remember we continue to reaching out or help someone, especially one day in the Reese Park. I sat down with an international student, and then many gathered around. And one day, that day, a person came by and tell me, he says, "I am a high school teacher from communist China. You know what I teach?" I said, "I have no clue." He says, "I teach Marxism, which means communist ideology." Then he said very proudly, "I'm interested in philosophy. By the way, I will never become a Christian because I teach communism in my country." I say, "Oh yeah?" Of course, he came to fellowship like this. He have a Bible study and then a few months later, he came by, and he was just so, looked so different. And he just hold my hand and says, "You know," he says, I think it's about time for me to be a Christian. And I look at him. And this person, what have changed in his life? We are praying for him. We share with him the gospel. And one day in his life, he told us that God answers his prayer. And that helped him know that God listens to prayer. And he received this gospel by faith. And this gospel transformed him. And last Thanksgiving, he was sharing with us that he says, I will go back home to this communist teacher taught communism in Inner Mongolia. There's no church in Inner Mongolia. Back, very far next to the Russian border. But he said, wherever I go, I want to tell others about the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of God is the power of God. This family one day will be sowing and reaping for the kingdom of God in the communist backyard. Such is the power of God. It can transform even a communist into the child of God. And he too will become a missionary. You see, God has sent people around the world into our own backyard. We can do home mission work, or so-called world mission work, right in our own backyard. Our Lord Jesus says, just as our sister Carrie mentioned just now, we are called to make disciples of all nations. God has put us right here, right now. We can do foreign mission work right in your dorms, right in your apartments, right here. We can nurture them here, disciple them here, and as they leave, they become disciples of all nations, starting churches all around the world. I'm one of those. I came confused. And one of you, those colored people, well, the other way around, those different colored people, those Americans, those strange-looking, tall, but gentle, loving, have discipled me and shown me the way. So amazing how God works. How can we participate right now? First, we pray, we look at the harvest, and then go harvest. You know, the most interesting thing, as I look back, about Christianity to a non-believer is not Jesus. It's not the church program. Everyone that was converted will tell you this kind of love stories. It says, some Christian loves me. Their smile, their hugs, they give me a ride. They visited me when I was sick. Then one day, they were asked, who is this Jesus that you believed? That's when it's time to boldly share the simple gospel to them. You see, non-believer didn't know Jesus, especially the internationals. They have no clue who a Christian is. They cannot see Jesus, but they can see you. So you, as Christ said, Christ lives in us. We live out as a light of the world. So reach out today with God's love. We commend you for coming tonight and knowing that this is a topic that the world is at our own doorsteps. And look around us. Maybe you know of some international students already. If not, I believe Carrie will be more than happy to link you up with, or you see someone at school to pray for them. He's so excited that this very special university has so many internationals. I still remember a student. He came. He's a Buddhist. He became a Christian. After a while, he became a Christian and he went back home. And he led his whole family to Christ, his mommy especially. And this mommy was so excited about the gospel that he has heard. And she goes to the our marketplace. It's an open air market, flea market like this. She just go in each store and just tell people about Jesus. And then especially at the wedding, at this students, international students that have left here and went home to be married. During the wedding, it's a big crowd, 100 or 200 people. You know what the mom did? Mom go around each table and tell people about Jesus. Wow. You know, today, how many people has she led to Christ? Make a guess. 175. One international student that we led to Christ, gone home, helped his family know Christ, and her mommy is sharing the gospel because someone here told him about Jesus. That is the power of the gospel. It is the power of God. Share it by faith. It will change and transform life. Like Christ, like the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. The new has begun. That is the power of the gospel. Go share it by faith. I want to challenge you today. Imagine now, 100 years later. Imagine with me, okay? 100 years later, we send out a heavenly email. By the way, 100 years later, you do expect to be in heaven, right? All of us do, right? Most of us will not live past 100, I think. Let's say we send out a heavenly email, okay? Imagine, okay? Dear BSU, the brothers and sisters who sang so lovingly, come on, come on, come on. This is Tony. Remember that day we talked about reaching the world at your doorstep? Come, let's join together and party. And also, by the way, the angels know what to do. We send the angels to get all those lives that have been touched by God's love. That God have used us as a channel of his love to touch lives and also be invited. The angels have a record of all this, okay? So, well, God keep every record. And then, imagine there will be how many? Thousands, especially this student, her parents, right? Her parents have reached 175. Oh, imagine! Oh, man, I would imagine thousands upon thousands, right? And then we'll be shaking some hands. Especially, I haven't met her mommy, but her mommy friend, I definitely have not. Someone out there I know, when I shake their hand, one person will say something like this to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Says, you remember, you shared the gospel to that international student? Down the line, the gospel came to me. I thank you for your faithfulness in reaching out to that person. I'm here because of your faithfulness. I tell you, there shall be great joy in heaven. Wow, what do you think is so amazing that God has used this to touch so many lives? This is the party that you don't want to miss. Go reach out by faith. Touch a life with the love of God. And let the gospel of God transform them. Yes? Our Lord Jesus said, it is ready. It is ready. I know it's not easy, but remember, God is with us, always with us. The power behind us is greater than the task before us. It's very exciting to reach out and touch someone, especially those that God has brought into our lives, the internationals, and that they may bring the gospel and to their nations, and that Christ may be glorified. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this privilege. It's such an honor, Lord. And thank you so much that you have sent people into our lives and tell us about your wonderful grace and salvation. Lord, we felt so indebted. Lord, we see ourselves as unworthy. Sinners running away from you, but your love, your unconditional love seeks us out and touches us. So Father, we pray at this moment that this love that we have received from you, may this love that lives in our hearts compels us to reach out and touch someone with your love and with your wonderful gospel. May your will be done and may you be glorified. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, thank you. May the Lord bless you.
Thanks, Tony, for coming. We appreciate you being here for us. Okay, our International Vespers Night is drawing quickly to a close, and so we're going to give you the last international trivia question. I know everybody's sad because it's the last one, but here we go. Okay, 1,577 represents A, the number of international students studying at OU, B, the number of oranges OU groundskeepers found on campus before the Orange Bowl, or C, the real amount of votes George W. Bush won Florida by. Who knows this answer? You should all have little pieces of paper on your chairs that, like, help you out. All right, yes, the answer is 1,577 international students on campus at OU.
So tonight we just want to ask everybody to kind of join together with us. We're going to have a time of prayer for the international students and the international student ministries here on campus. And to lead our prayer tonight, it's going to be Jenny Houston. She works with us here at the International Student Ministry. So thank you, Jenny.
Thank you. If you don't mind, split up into groups of three or four. And on these bookmarks, there's three prayer requests, and they're really short. And then I'll let you pray for a few minutes, and then I'll close in a few minutes.